And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto God a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It seems to me that these two verses are really the marching orders of God's children. Paul, in writing to these saints centuries ago, in a world that in many senses was like ours, also in a world that maybe in some ways was different from ours, nevertheless, he said, brethren, I beseech you, I urge you, I implore you, I challenge you, by the mercies of God, by all that God has done and all that God is, look at all of His mercy and all of His grace. Look at all that the Lord has done for us. And He said, because of the mercies of God, because of what God has done, I urge you and I implore you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. They, of course, were well aware of the law of Moses, the Jewish system of worship, where animal sacrifice was offered time after time, where the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, where remembrance had to be made constantly and continually for sin. They knew about this, but he said, I'm telling you to present your body, not some animal placed upon an altar, there offered as a sacrifice, but you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not something cold, lifeless, and dead, but present yourself, your bodies, all that you are and all that you have as a living sacrifice. This is the thing that is acceptable to God. We give to God what is His. All that we are, all that we have, and all we hope to become is dependent upon God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus in John 16, verse 33 said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Our Lord was there saying that in Him there is peace. There isn't in the world. There isn't among things of the world. In the world you'll have all kinds of struggles and trials and difficulties. He said, nevertheless, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world and you can overcome the world. My friend, that's really what it's all about. That's what that second verse of Romans 12 says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The basis then is whether we're going to conform or whether we're going to be transformed. Whether we're going to go along with the things of the world or whether or not we will change the world. Some time ago, on Red Square in Moscow, 50,000 young people marched around that square chanting, "We will change the world. We will change the world." Of course, they were doing that, indicating that they were going to make the world a Marxist philosophy of life. That they were going to turn the world into materialism. And so they chanted with all the strength of their lungs, "We will change the world." They're dedicated to do so. But I wonder today whether or not those of us who call ourselves Christians, who claim Jesus as the Lord of our life, I wonder, not that we're going to march around the courthouse, not that we're going to go out in the shopping centers with banners and signs and chants, but I wonder whether or not we are dead set on changing the world. And I wonder whether or not we are really convicted and convinced that we want to change our part of the world. Well, if we do so, I believe we can. I believe we can not because of the intellects we possess, not because of how rich we are, not because of our own ingenuity, but because of the God we serve. And I believe, as Paul said, we don't have to conform to this world. We don't have to be like it. We can be different from it. We can transform the world. This is an important question. I suppose that there's no command, or at least few of them in Scripture, that is more debatable than this one. In Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said, "Do not conform to this world, but be transformed." Someone says, "Are we going to separate ourselves from all who are not Christians? Are we going to just follow those things that are of a devotional nature?" Obviously, this is manifestly impossible. One of the greatest charges made against Jesus was in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. "Then drew near unto him the Pharisees and scribes, publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them." When Jesus gathered with publicans and sinners, when Jesus ate with them, when Jesus had time to spend with them, there were those Pharisees and scribes, the religious leaders of the day. They said, "Look at this man who seems to be so goody. Jesus. He's eating with publicans and sinners." No, the Lord did not separate Himself from the people of His day. But our Lord was concerned about changing the attitudes and actions and minds of men. But where shall we draw the line of what is of the world and what isn't? Some draw the line they keep. And probably each one draws it differently. Each is either an accuser or accused. While ungodly say it's impossible to know what is worldly. Well, I don't believe it's impossible. It may not always be easy to discern the distinction, but I believe it can be known. First, Paul says, nonconformity to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. There are two words for the one word we translate world. In our English language, there are two words in the Greek language. One of them is aion. It regards time, and the secondary rendering of it is age. Paul is saying, do not be conformed to this time or this age. Don't let the times govern and regulate your life. Don't let this age be the mold that molds you. And then the other Greek word is cosmos. It means space. You remember the Russians used the word cosmonauts, spacemen. And of course that was the meaning of the word cosmos regarding space. The other word regarding time or age. As we've mentioned, the world is difficult to define. You can't mark it off and define it like you can geography. As we travel the highways and byways of our land, we'll see various markers that list city limit of such and such a community. And then after we've traveled a little bit, then we'll see the city limit sign on the other side of town. We'll see a county marker that we're entering such and such a county, or sometime a marker describing a state or telling us that we're entering a particular state different from the one we've been traveling in. Now in geography, we can mark things out. Districts, county lines, state boundaries, and so forth. But this cannot be done as far as everything about this world is concerned. It's not quite that easy. It's not quite that discernible. The world really is a spirit or an attitude. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the spirit of this age or this time or the space in which we live alter us from being what the Lord would have us to be. In different areas, different spirits prevail. In the time of Noah, it was an age of violence. In Elijah's day, it was a time of idolatry. In the time of Jesus, it was a time of power. I don't mean that there weren't violence in all of those ages. Neither do I mean that there wasn't idolatry in all of those times. But the paramount thing that stood out was, it seems to me, these particular things. In Jesus' day, a time of power. No army was known like the Roman army because it was all over the world. And so it was a time of great power. That was the spirit that prevailed in that time. What is our attitude concerning the things that are about us? Notice that first verse of Romans 12, our bodies are living sacrifices. We are to offer ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, continually and constantly in the Lord's service as He directs us to do. But there, of course, is the danger for all of us in letting the things of this world color our thinking and color our thoughts. Letting the thought that everybody's doing it, that the times demand this or that because it's a popular concept. It's easy for us to follow in that direction. Paul is saying, do not be conformed to this world. Don't follow your life or don't make the pattern of your life be that of the things of this world. Secondly, he said that be ye transformed. Transformation. I don't think anybody can fully, and notice I say fully, comprehend or understand it. That word transformed in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, is in the original language a word that means metamorphed or metamorphosis. He said, be you metamorphed. Let metamorphosis take place in your life. Now, I don't understand all of that, but let me give you an example of it. All of us, I'm sure, are familiar with that little old creature, the caterpillar. And that thing, I learned long time ago, enjoyed cabbage leaves. And it would get all the cabbage leaves it could eat. That little old caterpillar could make a great diet from that garden by enjoying those cabbage plants or those cabbage leaves. But when the fall comes, that caterpillar gets on some fence post or some place, and somehow or other there's a cocoon spun around that thing. It spends the winter like that. And then when springtime comes, the balmy breezes and the warm air, one day that cocoon will open. And out comes not a caterpillar, but out comes a beautiful butterfly. And when the rays of sunshine dry the wings of that butterfly, it flies off into the breeze. Now that's metamorphosis. That's change. Something has changed. It's no longer a caterpillar, but it's a beautiful multicolored butterfly. And butterflies don't like cabbage leaves. Now, if they happen to light on a cabbage plant, it'll be accidentally. They won't stay there very long. They'll go to every flower they can find. They like flowers, beautiful things. And they'll try to light on every bloom that they possibly can. They don't have any taste anymore for cabbage leaves. Butterflies don't eat cabbage leaves. They're not interested in things of that nature. The interest has changed altogether. Now that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, brethren, be transformed. Be metamorphosed. Be changed. And when you're changed, when you're transformed, then you don't have an interest in those things once you did. You know, there's some people that are, and I hope you'll understand what I mean by the term, there's some people who are Christians. And I mean strong, faithful, stalwart Christians. And then there's some people that are church members. There's some people that are Christians, and there's some folks that are Church of Christers, if I may use that expression. Now, if you don't understand what I mean, let me give you an example, an illustration of it. There are two men who've had a problem of drink. One of them gives his life to the Lord, and he no longer wants a taste of that stuff. And it could be flowing in a creek in his backyard, and he wouldn't dip it up because he doesn't care for it. While the other man is a church member, Church of Christer. When he gets off from work, he has to pass several places that serve it. And so he has the feeling, oh, I just hope my car will get me past those saloons. Because it's such an inclination and such a temptation to stop. Now, what's the difference in these men? One of them has been transformed. One of them has been metamorphosed. He no longer eats the cabbage leaves. He no longer is concerned about the booze. He's been delivered from it. He doesn't desire it anymore. It's repulsive to his thoughts. While the other hasn't been transformed. He's still like the caterpillar. He's still concerned about the cabbage leaves. His interest is still in that direction. That's the difference. We either conform or we're transformed. If we're concerned about the lowly, mundane things of life, then we haven't had the transformation that the Lord's talking about. Be you transformed. Don't conform, but be transformed. Whenever we're transformed, it's going to be evident in our life. We're going to be interested in things spiritual and things divine. Person that's a genuine Christian isn't going to want to miss any services of the church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or if there's a special service on Thursday, Friday night, whatever the time is. Because he or she's been transformed. They'd rather be with God's people than with people of the world or watching the television or whatever it is that crowds out time and service that belongs to God. They're no longer interested in the cabbage leaves, as it were, but concerned about the beautiful and the noble and the great. I ask you today, have you been transformed? Have you been metamorphosed? Has your life been changed? Are you still concerned about the lowly things of this world, or rather the things of God? And I think each one of us in this audience knows the answer to that in his or her heart. Oh, we may say that's plain, that's blunt, that really lays it on the line. But I think we see by applying to our life whether or not we're a Christian or whether or not we're a church member, Church of Christer. We have a lot of church members and a lot of people, I'm sure, in our world today that are Church of Christers that somehow or other have gotten names on church rolls and considered a member of that wonderful institution, the church. Who've never really been transformed, who've never really been changed, who really aren't Christians. Now, I'm not minimizing the importance of being a faithful member of the church, but I'm simply saying that if we're genuine Christians, we're going to be that. We might be with some name on a church roll and not a genuine Christian and still not be transformed. Not be changed. Whenever our lives are changed, transformed, not conforming to this world, but transformed, we can make a difference in our world. But until, unless they are, we won't. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. You need to believe in the Lord, repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized. This is what the Lord asks of each one to do. Then after doing that, arise to walk in a new life